Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got?
For juggalos and juggalettes.
You are now listening to the best friends podcast in the world.
Bienvenidos.
Sure. Welcome back, everybody. We're back. We're another a May edition. Technically, when this comes out, it is May.
Yeah, it'll be May 1st. So this is it. The May, the first podcast of the month of May. So we're in Uno de Mayo for tonight. Un de Mayo.
Well. Yeah, for tomorrow, for the audio only listeners, it is uno de mayo.
Or well, I think they have a different way of saying it. My high school and college Spanish is coming back. Not my Duolingo like you, sir.
Yeah.
Primero de mayo is first.
Primero. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it is primero de mayo.
All right. Well, we're churching it up a little bit, I guess.
I can't roll my R, so I'm not churching.
Primero de Mayo.
There you go.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the greatest podcast to exist in the history of podcasts. It's your number one source for all things craft beer related. It's internationally acclaimed, Cindy Crawford approved podcast of hops, high fives.
Woogity woogity.
And friendship. I am your host, the crispiest of boys, the crowd killer of crispies. It's Tom.
And I'm your other host, the Hop Master General, the Royers Ford Rattlesnake. Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, it's hell Dan. Yeah. All right, everybody. It's going to be May. It's going to be May.
It is going to be May.
Yeah.
Primero de Mayo.
De Mayo. Well, welcome back, everybody. Glad to have everybody back with us for another episode. We have a theme. We're going with a theme. We had to pivot.
Yeah, we had to pivot ever so slightly because the local beer stores aren't ready for what we thought we were going to do tonight. And they were barely ready for what we chose to do tonight.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. We scraped by on this one.
Yeah, we barely got a theme going, but we're suckers for a good gimmick, and we found one.
Yeah. So, in the meantime, it's the year of. Sure, Pete Weber getting in there. we are in the year. It was 2020 hard for. I don't even know where it's the year of 30-second songs now. We're way off theme, but
we thought it was only going to be a month of 30-second songs, but we keep going, guys.
Yeah,
we love it that much.
Yeah, it's 30-second May. Now we're in our I don't know what it is. We're doing 30-second songs. It's the best friends podcast in the world, and we're starting right now.
1, 2, 3, go.
And there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Good intentions by God. Okay. Well. Well.
Tommer?
Yep. I got so relaxed in our 30-second song that I forgot it's on a playlist, and it was going to play another song.
This is what happens when we we get too used to 30-second songs.
Yeah,
we become too accustomed to them.
Yep. Now we're too, yeah, we're too relaxed in it now. But yeah, that was Gorilla Biscuits, Good Intentions. So yeah, we're back. We got some good stuff to talk about tonight. We have a theme, which we always love. But in the meantime, before we get into said theme, we got to hit this.
Do it.
All right, everybody. Remember, follow and review. Give us a follow on all major podcast platforms. Give us a rating. Dan, what is that rating?
5-star party, baby.
And shoot us a review. Good, bad, skating, whatever. It helps us out. Take a couple minutes out of your day. Shoot us a review on Apple Podcasts for sure. I don't know if Spotify has them, but it helps with the algorithm.
Get us up in that algorithm, guys.
Yeah, it's the best way to help us out. If you want to help us out monetarily, there's two ways to do it. One is a link in our bio. There's a listener support section. You can go and donate some money to us. But the best way to do it is, Daniel?
Sub with Prime, baby.
Yeah, so Sub with Prime. Twitch is arguably the best way to view this podcast if you're a stream boy. You can connect your Amazon Prime account to your Twitch account, and you can sub to us for a couple months ad free, and we get a little kickback. Everybody wins. And as always, we are a part of the Hopped Up Network. Hopped Up Network is an ever-growing group of independent craft beer podcasts, much like our own. If you like our podcast, you might like some of the others on the network. Check them out, www.hoppedupnetwork.com. And that's it.
Oh, yeah.
So it is, we're coming upon, the audio will be released. As we mentioned, and on Primero de Mayo.
It's gonna be May.
Yeah, so we're gonna do a little Cinco de Mayo themed podcast here. We're gonna do something different, a different style of beer that maybe we'll do later in May when it becomes more prominent.
Yeah, maybe after a certain after a certain goat festival.
Yeah. Especially when we go to the beer distributor and there's only one of that style and it's by a brewery that we don't trust.
Yeah. That was a rough visit today.
Yeah. But so we came out with this one.
Yep. Couldn't find a Maybach, but hey, we found a Mexican lager, Tom.
Yeah. So we're gonna be doing El Pufar. Or El Puffer, as if you're,
it's a puffer.
Yeah, it's a puffer from Dock Street in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
El Puffer, yeah, it's a Mexican lager, refreshing, incredibly easy drinking pale lager, brewed with flaked corn, which we'll talk about later, which contributes to a slightly sweet finish. Salud.
Hey Dan, this actually has a more in-depth description on the side of the beer. This light body pale lager is designed to be incredibly easy drinking and refreshing, brewed with flaked corn for a light body and slightly sweet finish. As Mexico's single most important agricultural product, corn is traditionally used in many of the light lagers brewed in Mexico that defined this style over the year. Oaxaca-based artist Miguel Sanchez illustrated the label and centering on corn as the symbol of wealth, struggle, and identity to the Zapotec communities of Oaxaca and all Mesoamerican civilizations. Serve.
Very good pronunciation.
With
sir.
A line. You like that?
I gotta say, you nailed it, because I'm like, oh, is he gonna get the Oaxaca? Oaxaca?
Yeah. Oaxaca. Do you know why I know Oaxaca?
How?
Because of the cheese, Dan. Because of the cheese.
Because of the cheese.
Because of the cheese. All right. So we're going to be doing this. Let's give it a crack and get into this. I don't have a lime to serve it with, but that'll be all right. 3, 2, 1.
Ooh. I gotta say, it's got a beautiful corn on the nose as soon as you crack this beer.
So. I give it a sniff and I was like,
all I heard was the beginning of Blind. Just this little ride cymbal pinging. Ooh, man, pale lagers. Just, I mean, this is pouring beautifully. Are you looking at, are you looking at this head? You looking at this head, Tom?
Yeah, look at that.
Oh my gosh.
Look at that guy. Wow. That is about as clear as you can get.
Oof, this is a beautiful looking beer, Tom.
Well, Daniel, let's get a let's get into this thing. Sláinte.
Cheers, man.
Salud.
Ooh, that is beautiful. That is beautiful. I gotta say, top beer style coming into the this month for me.
Yeah.
I gotta say the influx of Mexican lagers as a I gotta say, Tom, I don't like to pigeonhole myself. I'm a seasonal beer drinker.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that comes as a surprise to anybody.
Yeah. I gotta say,
I feel like most people are seasonal beer drinkers.
People try to say they're not, but when you come across like certain styles that you know, they're like, oh, I'd have a Mexican lager all year round. Of course you would. But would it be coming up in like, would it be in your mind to have that Mexican lager in the dead of winter?
Yeah, Triceracop. Don't think you've ever had a Mexican lager. You're doing yourself a disservice.
Oh, absolutely. Mexican lagers are, I would say, a top style for the podcast. We've discussed many, actually. We are no stranger to describing Mexican lagers on this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. So we went off the theme. Cinco de Mayo is coming up. Dan's favorite part of the year is the mayo part. It's the day where Dan has five different mayos.
Nope.
Hellman's, Duke's, Kraft. QP, QP, if you're feeling a little, Japanese.
Oh, had to put Dukes in there.
Yeah. Oh. Dukes, extra thick and creamy.
Yeah. Oh man. Dukes mayo rolls in on one of those, electronic scooters you see at Walmart.
Dukes is good, man. you got somebody, you got two straws, Dan. You can drink it like you're malted in the malt shop.
We're in the old malt shop. Mm-hmm. I got one extra in the fridge. I'll drop one by.
So we usually do. Well, let's talk about this a little bit, Dan, before we get into.
Let's dissect the Mexican lager. Let's go south of the border and really analyze this beer.
It's super super clean. I mean, it's what you expect. Super clean. You know, the flake corn, I think is the real like star of the show here.
The flaked maize, as they call it.
Yeah, the flaked maize. I don't know if it's just in my head, but whenever I have a Mexican lager, like in this one too, like there's a little bit of a citrusy undertone to it.
Yeah, I would say that is in the choice of the hops. More importantly, in the dry hop to get that, which is nice because this is not mentioned that it's brewed with lime.
No, it says serve with a lime.
Yeah, it says serve with a lime. So it's great that they're getting and kind of looking at certain flavor notes for this. There is like floral, spicy, and herbal to it, which I am getting that. But I'm getting like that herbal note of like lime peel. Almost like the citrusy, lime
peel. Yeah. That zest. It's like zest.
It's like peppery lime in there.
Yeah. I mean, it's super, I mean, this is what you come to expect with a Mexican lager, super refreshing. This one is definitely more like on the, I don't know if I've had a Mexican lager this clear.
I gotta say, man, I'm a little condensating right now, but man, this is a beautiful beer. I mean, it falls into, and Tom, I've, you know, it's been a while since we whipped out the old BJCP.
Oh, there you go. Service.
So, you know, falling under the international pale lager as it does, the Mexican lager appearance should be a pale straw to gold color, white, frothy head, nailed it. May be or may not be long lasting. That's probably due to the flaked corn, the sweetness from it, eating up the head a little bit. But also a very clear beer.
Okay. I mean, this kind of ticks all the boxes there.
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking at the beer right now. It's like the head, you know, was very frothy, pouring it like perfect.
What's up, Chris White?
And, you know, flavor notes are very like grainy malt flavor, medium to low bitterness, but a sweetness.
Yeah, there is like an inherent sweetness to it.
And that's that flaked corn, baby.
Yeah.
That flaked maize coming in there, giving it that sweetness. It's got a little bit more body than like your light lagers, but there's something still refreshing about it. Mm. It's not too heavy. It borders on like a Hell's. It's not too sweet like a Hell's, but it's like, it's getting there.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. So we talked about, let's see. The grist for Mexican lager is mostly light kilned base malts with somewhere between 10 and 40% corn.
Yeah, man. There's a lot of corn in there. I got to say, the more the better for me. I love the taste that corn brings to, like, especially because American light lagers use it. Good ones do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of those ones that use rice, you know.
I love the taste that corn brings to most of my playlists. That's what I like.
Yeah, I love what corn brought to my baggy pants.
Your JNCO era?
My JNCOs in eighth grade.
Dan, I had this delivered.
Did you really text your wife for a lime?
Yeah, I did.
Touche, Tom.
So we have to try it. It says serve with a lime, so I should have probably pre-read that. But to answer, so real quick to answer Chris White, this is from Dock Street in Philly. The oldest brewery in Philadelphia, the oldest craft brewery in Philadelphia.
Is that true? I was looking, doing a little background research on that I was trying to see if they had like an about section on their website talking about
there that. Was something. Yeah. It's like they're the oldest craft brewery, I think, in Philadelphia.
Oh yeah. Philly's first craft
first,
brewery.
Yes. There you go.
Established in 1985.
Oh, what a great year. I mean, so Dan, the
Dock
line,
Street, the best friends. You know.
Yeah. It's a match made in heaven if they just didn't ghost us years ago.
many
a moon.
I do the Philly accent. It's great. I heard it coming out.
Yeah, many moon ago.
You're like, yeah, we'll have you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
come on the podcast. We love them Jones that you guys got brewing up there. So I added the lime. It's hard for me to be partial with it. You know, I love lime. Lime added to almost anything makes it better for me.
I'm the same way. I've had... So I don't know if you've jumped on this craze, but have you had the liquid death, Tom?
I've had it before. It's not something like that I buy when I'm, if it was given to me, I'd drink it, but like, it's not something that like I'm searching out.
It's very gimmicky, but it has been on sale at the Target, at the old Target,
at the Target,
as our as the dads say.
Yeah.
I did pick up one of the lime sparkling water flavored ones.
Right.
Gotta say, man, don't sleep on the lime flavored.
Don't sleep on the lime. I wouldn't.
But the sparkling lime or the lime sparkling water.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, game changer, man.
Here, I got a true game changer for you, Dan. True lime. You can buy them at Giant or whatever grocery store.
Okay.
They're little packets of each packet is one crystallized lime.
And you just toss it in the water?
Just toss it in your water. It's literally just a crystallized lime. There's no sugar added, nothing. It's like there's people that add like Crystal Light to their water because they're like, I can't just drink water. I need to have me some flavor. It's like
I might just toss one some tequila.
I've done that. I've done it with transfusions. I get the transfusion mix, and then there's no lime in it. I don't have lime readily available, but I do have True Lime. Toss it in there.
True Lime in the old caddy sack.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna call it. I have no idea what it's called. But caddy sack sounds awesome. If I ever start, I'm gonna call mine a caddy sack.
I'm here for that caddy sack. I'm for that. True Lime. Check it out. They have a bunch. They have True Lemon, True Lime.
I gotta say, True Lime sounds like something I'm gonna toss in, shake up some tequila, cold with some ice, and then pop one of the True Limes in and just pour the tequila over it.
I like that. I like the idea of that.
That might be the new take on ranch water. Have you had a ranch water?
Oh
yet?
Yeah. Yeah. Ranch water is delicious.
Yeah, put a little one of those True Limes in it.
So the base malt for a Mexican lager can be a mix of 2-row, 6-row Pilsner malt and Vienna malt.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2 or 6-row may use corn, sugar, adjuncts, but generally it's all malt, which, with flaked maize and malt, that's mm-hmm. all you need.
Yeah. So let's talk about, we've been doing, some hop discussion.
Hop talk. Yes.
Yeah. Hop talk. Let's get in some malt talk or some maize talk.
Ooh, I like maize talk. Tom, we've had a couple of beers in the past here.
Yeah.
And maize talk had me thinking, what are some of the best beers that we've had that, showcase, a flaked maize in them? Because I think we've had other beers outside of just Mexican lagers that have used flaked maize in the past. We don't have to point out specific beers, but style-wise, I'm going to start because mm-hmm. I think, Tom, you're going to agree with this. Mm-hmm. We've had some cream ales in the past with flaked maize.
Oh, yeah.
And I got a sweetness that flaked maize brings to a cream ale. Just chef's kiss.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, my head immediately went to Wall and Paul Pack's Mexican lager.
Yeah. And then we also had Maize for Days from Warwick Farm.
Oh, yeah.
Or no, was that Maize for Days?
Yes.
Was that was Warwick Farm, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes. I think that was the first beer that I ever picked up there.
That was one of the first beers we ever had from Warwick Farm.
Yeah.
But that was a corn lager. I've had a human robot. Had a Pennsylvania corn lager for one of their anniversaries that just absolutely knocked my dick in the dirt. Mm. I gotta say, I am a huge fan of corn as an adjunct for beer.
Yeah, I'm here for it. Does California Common utilize corn?
No, Tom, but I believe you had a Kentucky Common.
Kentucky Common, yeah. Let's see. Kentucky Common corn. Let's see. I don't know. How to brew Kentucky Common beer. Yep. Uses corn.
Told you, buddy.
Yeah.
I know my commons.
yeah. 22% whole corn.
Yeah. That was actually in my head when I brought up that question. I'm like, he had that Kentucky Common. My jealousy went through the roof for it.
Where was that Kentucky Common from? Was that from Vermont?
Treehouse.
Yeah.
That was a treehouse, Sean.
Kentucky Common from Vermont. The Yankeeest of Yank states.
Yeah, exactly. There's no corn out there.
No. No. Yeah, I mean, there's a plethora of beers that, the macro beers that we love are pretty primarily done with corn.
Yeah. Most light American lagers.
Yeah.
Corn's a big one. The one that kills all of our digestive tracts, though, is the introduction of rice into them. cheaper, you know, saves a lot of money. And it's just, you know, it is inherently part of the actual style, but man, give me corn any day. Give me that flaked maize over rice.
Rapadoo. Yes. Give me corn any day.
Give me that flaked corn. I want that Life is Peachy Mexican lager.
Wow.
I want my Mexican lager to have Tom issues.
Oh man. These breweries are really, they're dropping the ball on that.
Yeah. I'm not following the leader or anything, but you know.
There's so many ways you could take this.
One more of these Mexican lagers and I'm coming undone.
Ooh.
Just every corn reference I can think of right now. Yeah. Spit them out.
A little Brigitte Nielsen in that music video.
Oh, was she in that one?
And mm-hmm. Coming Undone.
Yeah. Oh, I never even saw the video. I think that was on my way out. That's when I went, guys, what are you doing? I was like the meme. The guy was like, oh, no. Buddy.
Coming Undone rules.
Eh.
When's the last time you listened to Coming Undone? Kind of rules.
Well, Tom, to quote another man in that realm, it's been a while.
All right, let's get away from our butt rock talk.
Yeah, let's get away from new metal here for a second.
So we haven't talked too much about local breweries.
Yeah, we've been keeping it broad. You know, we're a podcast. We're not, we didn't want Ghana to get too confused about what we were talking about when we mentioned Pennsylvania, even though we were number one when it was all Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
It's like they want to be here.
Mm-hmm. Everybody wishes to be a PA citizen.
I'm waiting for the first Ghana email to come out and be like, can you guys talk about Pennsylvania more?
A local PA brewery purchased another local PA brewery. Actually,
yeah, so this purchased is
a brewery, yeah, that was like right around the corner from them.
Yeah, so a little middle of the state, I guess.
Is this considered middle of the state?
I mean, it's pretty close to Harrisburg. Say like Effort is pretty close to.
Is Harrisburg even? Is that? I guess it's technically central PA, right?
Yeah, I'd say it's like this is the central PA kind of central Pennsylvania.
The true central Pennsylvania is just you don't want to go there.
Well, it's that rest stop with the what's the rest Breezewood. Stop called?
Breezewood.
Yeah, Breezewood's true center. That's like it's like saying true north. Like Breezewood is.
Yeah, yeah, you're right, Matt. Lancaster isn't, but identifies as central PA. I think it's just like you have Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, and everything that is outside of that is central PA.
Yeah. So where do you think the line of demarcation is where people stop saying that they're from outside Philly when they travel?
I think Lancaster might be.
I would say that Lancaster, like right before Lancaster, you start getting those small hamlets before you get in there.
Yeah.
Like you got Morgantown and
Chester County, Lancaster. Yeah. Lancaster County.
That's where people stop saying they're from outside Philly.
It's where they start saying, where you stop seeing Wawa's and you start seeing Sheets. That's when people stop saying that they're from outside Philly.
Because there's a good 20 miles where you're like seeing both. For a little bit.
Yeah.
And like, you know, they're just right next to each other and they're competing. Mm-hmm. And then it thins out and then Wawa's just gone.
Yep. Yeah. It's like it near us, there's like one or two Sheets. Yeah. And it's like that dispersed, like the Venn diagram is like it's very loose right there. Yeah. But as you get out towards the west.
I'd say the Chester Lancaster County line is like where you cross the veil and now you're in central and like, you don't mention that you're from outside Philly. You're from central Pennsylvania when you travel. And then, you know, you pass through Breezewood and you're on your way on the other side and it's Steeler territory.
Yeah.
You're from outside Pittsburgh.
Well, so, I mean that area you're looking at, you're either an Eagles fan, a Steelers fan, or a Ravens fan.
Yeah, you get, what's that highway that comes up? The heroin bypass that comes up through York.
Yeah.
It's like 80, I think it's like 88 or something.
Yeah.
It comes up and like people are, there's like these random Baltimoreans or what do you call it, bombers?
bombers.
That are just coming up that highway and settling in York and that central Pennsylvania area.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Matt, he shouted it out that it was the central. I think the big thing is that people know Lancaster for, you know, for the Amish.
Yeah.
That's like, there's a claim to fame in Lancaster. I think if Lancaster didn't have like some kind of, recognition.
If they didn't have shoe fly pie, I would have no reason to go there.
But it's not even that, like they wouldn't, where would they say that? Cause you know, if you like, you're going to say you're from Roersford, you're going to tell people around here from you're from Roersford. But if you go out of state, you're like, I'm outside, right outside of Philly.
Yeah. And then, you know, when you hit that Lancaster Chester County line, you're out of state and people are just like, yeah, I'm from like Lancaster, and they have no idea. And you're just like Amish country, Pennsylvania. They're like, oh shit, horse and buggies. And like, they've all seen Kingpin.
Right. So yeah, as we talk about that, Poor Man's Brewing in Ephrata, which is outside of Lancaster. They acquired, what's that?
I was going to say the Lager King right there of Lancaster, yeah. Central Pennsylvania.
Yeah, they acquired St. Boniface Brewing, St. Boniface Brewing Company, right around the corner from them.
Yeah, and they were, I guess, advertising, or not advertising, but it came to light that they were going out of business at the beginning of the year. Honestly, I mean, Tom, you mentioned that you've had one of their beers. I mean, I've been in drinking craft beer for a very long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would say, you know, we're, as of this year, maybe going on 20 years of craft beer, I've never had a St. Boniface beer.
Yeah. I mean, I had it at,
you had a Reading Phillies game.
Yeah. I had a Reading Phillies game. And that was only because they have like a sponsorship at the Reading Phillies. I tried to give them so many chances, but had nothing better than mediocre. It's kind of what it is. It's like one.
And they've been around forever. It was like the area was just accepting mediocre as craft beer.
So it was one of those things, like they got in like right before like craft beer boomed. So they were the craft beer place there.
Kind of like what Stickman did in Roersford.
Yes. Yes. So it was like people just, they just had that like recognition there.
Yeah. And then everything else just got better around them. And then,
yep.
And then they probably blamed the pandemic for a reason for closing, even though they probably just didn't get better themselves.
Well, didn't they get caught up in the whole, the craft beer Me Too?
Yeah, they got that.
Yeah.
They probably were blaming the scamdemic for going down.
Yeah. So, and that's the thing, like they didn't, I never saw St. Boniface on any shelves. I didn't see
no distribution. Yeah. Mm-mm. Very just like, yeah, to themselves. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, and good for Poor Man. Like Poor Man's made a name for themselves. They don't really distribute. Ephrata is just like, Ephrata is out of the way.
It is out of the way. And, you know, I spent a lot of time in Ephrata prior to like the craft beer boom out there. A lot of like, it's weird. A lot of skate parks out there, a lot of skateboarding in Ephrata, which is crazy. Like Ephrata, Denver, that whole area, a lot of skateboarding. It was crazy. So we used to go to these huge skate parks out there. Never once did I think I'm going to stop for some craft beer while I'm out there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how Poor Man's marketed themselves very, very well.
Yeah, I mean, great brewery, great product. I mean, yeah. I've never had a bad beer from those guys. So, I mean, good on them. And Tom, you had mentioned some very interesting, I guess, ways that they're approaching this purchase.
Yeah, so the purchase, they're gonna purchase it, but they're keeping St. Boniface. I mean, it's not much is gonna be changed. So when they were asked, will they be changing the beer? For the most part, no. We've been drinking Boniface beers since their original location, and we plan to bring back some beers from the past and also introduce rotating new beers as well. So, I mean, it seems so. And then it goes on. Will you be changing the food? Absolutely not. The food is amazing. We would like to eventually introduce some rotating specials. So it seems like they're purchasing this, but they're going to keep the staff. Like, are
they? It seems like they're just going to keep it going for them.
Yeah, they're just buying it outright. It's just like an asset purchase.
Like that initial, your initial statement kind of reminded me of, again, hyper local here, but Sly Fox purchasing Reading Premium.
Yeah.
Or like purchasing the name and keeping that beer going. I mean, I don't know if you've recently had a Reading Premium, but man, they are just solid beers.
Yeah, it's a good one. I think I had a Reading Premium at the Phillies game.
Yeah, Reading Phillies game. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's not going to be just a second location for Poor Man's, which I don't know why it's a second. Didn't Poor Man's open up a second location already? Or in the process?
They do. Yeah, they have opened it up. So they have two locations, which that's why this kind of came as like a surprise. But it sounds like, you know, it sounds like they're nostalgic for the brand and they want to keep it going without all the mistakes that they were making previously.
Yeah. So it's continue to operate the Boniface Brewery and Taproom in Ephrata as its own company. They're going to make some tasteful tweaks, but it will still be Boniface, and they will not be buying Tide House, which I believe is affiliated with Boniface.
The Mule has elaborated that they only have one location now. The old location just became brewing now. So
it's just, it's just a brewing location.
Okay.
It says, will Boniface beers still be available wholesale, which again, never seen a Boniface beer wholesale distributed.
So combined
production of Poor Man's and Boniface, we plan to deliver more beers all over central PA. So maybe it's just to the west.
Maybe it's a central. Maybe it's a central PA kind of distribution. Yeah. Cause I mean, I would definitely make the joke of boner face every time I went to the beer store if I saw it.
Yeah. The jokes write themselves. And then why own a second brewery right in Ephrata? And they said, we feel the two places offer a different enough product to both be successful. By combining our brewing wholesale/wholesale production, we can reduce overhead and be a more efficient business. On the surface, it doesn't make much sense. Like, why would you buy? Clearly, Boniface had not enough success to survive.
Yeah.
Which is why they sold it. And you're going to keep it as the Boniface brand. Why would that be a fruitful endeavor? They're in that business. So they obviously know more than we do. Hopefully it's not something that becomes something that takes down the Poor Man's brand.
Yeah. I hope it's not taxing on Poor Man's. Yeah.
Where they get into like a necromancer situation where they bite off a little bit more than they can chew.
Yeah. Like central PA's, had that experience with like Tattered Flag too.
Right. Yeah.
And stuff. Yeah. So, getting too big for your britches. Mm-hmm. And, it sounds like really they're just kind of bankrolling Boniface. So it sounds like they have an easy, just like pull out strategy where they're just like, hey, It's not marketed as poor man. So
yeah,
it's not going to look like poor man's is closing when they close.
Dan, a lot of people think they have a good pull out strategy, and next thing you know, you got a kid and you're buying diapers.
Yeah. You got a little St. Boniface around the corner that you got to feed every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
18 years.
Yeah. You got a little boner face around the corner. Okay.
I got St. Boniface every other weekend. He's really bringing down my bachelor pad.
Let's see.
Good debate.
But if the business wasn't making money, why take it over with a little change? Hopefully they change their beer for the better.
I think they're riding on the image of poor man's taking it over, mm-hmm. bringing people in. Like, well, because poor man's has such an image, they're like, well, if poor man's is backing this, maybe I'll give them a try again or something like that.
But we don't know that Boniface wasn't making money. It could just be a situation where the owners were like, we're tired of doing this. We want out, you know, let's make some money and retire. We don't know the ins and outs of it. I don't really understand how Boniface is making money, but, again, we don't know. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't know the behind the scenes. We can only see from the surface. And hey, I mean, best of luck to poor man's. We love your beer. So hopefully this is a fruitful endeavor for you guys, but at the same time, like, oh man, Boniface might get kicked to the curb.
Yeah.
And it doesn't,
man. Can we get a poor man's boner face beer?
Oh man. Boner face Bohemian Pilsner.
Man, that'd be good. Dan, I was just there on Sunday and actually have some PM lagers for you. Well, way to alienate me, but thanks, Matt. So I'm not on Twitch, but I will ban you.
you're shadow. Are you shadow banning Mule from the podcast?
Yeah, I will. I'm not above that. Dan doesn't even know the Twitch login. I'll get on Twitch and
it's saved on my phone.
I will drop the ban hammer.
The ban hammer's going down.
Yeah.
He's the only one that tunes in, bro. Come on.
Oh yeah, no. I said I'm good. I don't want to buy beer from that place. From Turkey Hill. I didn't need Turkey Hill beer. I got enough iced tea from them. I got lemon teas from Turkey Hill.
He's pulling up the reverse. He's backtracking.
it was free. No, I didn't need that. That was never discussed. I don't want.
Did you sign off as Tom saying I'm good?
Yes,
because
I did.
Because I had no, like, I couldn't even get to those chats. I was so busy that week or that day.
Yes, I did sign it as Tom. I said, okay, thank you, but I'm good. Tom. Sign Tom.
Well, I, for one, am embracing those PM lagers when they come in.
I was not offered poor man's lagers. I was offered Turkey Hill beer. He was like, yeah, you want a half a gallon of lemon tea?
I would take it. Diet, maybe.
Dude, diet tea? Ugh. Ugh.
Ugh. They make the best diet tea, though. Actually, no. I got to say Wawa.
Dan also has a Turkey Hill crowd come. So he just took the initiative and was like, Dan didn't answer. You're getting
busy.
A crowler. Yeah. Next time, Mule, I'm just going to ignore Mule next time, and maybe I'll end up with free beer.
You can't use my, he knows I'll make it right by him.
Dan, I thought about this earlier.
Okay, Tom.
So we haven't done this in a while. We're going to get into some fast food talk, Dan.
Ooh.
So you and I share a common order at Taco Bell.
Yes, we do.
It's our go-to, right?
True.
Cheesy Gordita Crunch. When they had it, I don't know if they don't have it anymore. The Cheesy Gordita Crunch meal was the best.
It was. They don't. It's a la carte now. So you have to kind of build your own thing going there.
It used to be two tacos. You could get hard or soft tacos. Yep. And a Cheesy Gordita Crunch. And then you order your second Cheesy Gordita Crunch because what are we? What are we? Models? We're not eating that. Like, that's not filling. Yeah. I think I can speak for both of us. Don't really stray from that order.
No, that is the foundation of my order. I may try something new, like in addition, if something else like mm-hmm. comes out, I'm like, hey, you know, I'll throw it in the order. Fair. I am partial to the beefy five layer burrito, or as I like to call it, the beefy four layer because I don't get the sour mm-hmm. cream.
I will. You know what? I'll throw in every once in a while, cinnamon twists.
Yeah, a little cinnamon twist.
They're delightful. They're delightful. Yeah.
They're a delightful palate mm-hmm. cleanser, mm-hmm. as I like to say.
Nice little sweet treat at the end.
A little sweet and savory action back and forth. Yeah. Okay, Tom.
So I was thinking, I stopped at Wendy's today.
Okay.
And I typically, I have an order that I primarily, 95% of the time I get the same thing.
Okay.
Everyone, so I get the at Wendy's, I get the Dave's Double meal, and that's it.
Okay.
Every once in a while, I will stray and I'll get a spicy chicken sandwich.
Okay. You've mentioned this in the past.
The Wendy's spicy chicken sandwich I feel like it's very underrated for how good it is. So my question is, one, do you have any? I know your McDonald's order, the DQPC.
Yep.
And I'm in the same boat, but I'll switch it up there. If I'm feeling squirrely, I'll go either DQPC or I'll go Big Mac.
Okay. Typically I can see the two. Yeah. It depends on the level of hunger. Sometimes I'll add like a 6-piece nugget on top of my DQPC a la carte. Mm. And the nuggets are usually for... they're almost the like ride road home. Nugget.
Yeah.
They're road nugs.
Yeah. Road they're, nugs.
Baby, they're road nugs. And it depends on how far from home I am before I get there.
All right.
So if it's like, ooh, man, the only Wawa I'm going to be able to, or the only McDonald's I'm going to be able to hit before they close mm-hmm. is like, you know, right before I go on a 30-minute drive home, then I'll have, some nugs.
Here's my problem. All right. So the main question is, do you have at the big four, we're only talking big four. Do you have a primary order like you have at, or a standalone order like you have at Taco Bell where you don't stray from it?
I would say it's very, McDonald's and Taco Bell are very similar at DQPC mm-hmm. and the Cheesy Gordita Crunch, mm-hmm. they're very similar.
Okay.
So those are two. So we're talking Burger King and Wendy's are the other two?
Yes.
Ooh, so I don't frequent those two as much.
Okay.
So
you're doing yourself a disservice. They're very underrated.
I would say Wendy's is the next in line.
Wendy's.
In my ranking?
Wendy's, the best burger. The best fast food burger patty. Not the overall... The actual beef.
The beef, yes.
The best. It's the best fast food burger.
I don't know, man. I love a DQPC, man.
Dan, I'm not talking sandwich. Not talking sandwich as a whole.
I know, but even like I kind of like those salty patties on the DQPC, man.
When's the last time you had a Wendy's burgie? It's a salty boy.
Yeah, I just had one about 2 or 3 weeks ago, so... In my head, I've got what my equivalent to the Taco Bell order is.
Okay. Hit me.
It is the Junior Baconator. I get the Junior Baconator, no mayo.
Okay.
That is my go-to.
Interesting.
Junior, Junior Baconator. I get the I do love Wendy's fries.
Wendy's fries are really good.
The natural cut fries, they hit a certain way. I like them, and I go with all natural lemonade with that too.
Okay, the all natural lemonade. I like that. Okay,
I don't get the Minute Maid. I get the OG, the one that comes in the clear. When it comes in the clear cup and everything, that good lemonade.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. So Burger King, if you're going to Burger King, what's your order?
See, the only time I ever go to Burger King is, I would say rest stops. It's the only time I ever go to Burger King.
I think you're doing yourself a disservice by really cornering yourself.
I feel like the only one, you know, the only ones that are close to me, like I have to go to Pottstown or I have to go to that one.
That's in true. Yeah. Well, you work right across the street from a Burger King.
Yeah, dude. But I got a Wayback next, right across the street.
Yeah, Wayback is fine. It's overpriced. It's a better burger, but it's overpriced. It's in the same line as Five Guys. Five Guys is a good burger, but I'm not paying $20 for.
Yeah, I mean, it's still cheaper than Five Guys, but
yes, but
I gotta say, and this might be very divisive. Mm-hmm. I am a hardcore supporter of chicken fries.
I love chicken fries, regular.
Mm-hmm. I love spicy.
Okay,
I get them at rest stops, and they go right into the middle console of the car while I'm driving to like on a road trip somewhere. Like it is the perfect meal. Like I even eat chicken, like regular chicken fries dry. Cause I like the breading and I like the seasoning on it. Mm-hmm. And that's my go-to and like a medium or large fry. Fries are pretty solid.
Yeah.
I don't really go for their burgers too much.
A Whopper, an OG Whopper. So my order at Burger King, and I like Burger King. I'm a Burger King fan.
All right.
Whopper, the OG Whopper, no cheese. Okay. Hear me out, Dan. It's the only burger I will order without cheese, and it's only because there is something wrong with their cheese.
It just feels wrong.
It's like radioactive cheese. It's like unmeltable cheese.
You don't know what's wrong with it, man.
Yeah. Ugh. You could throw it in the oven at 450 for 6 hours, and that cheese will still be cold when you bite into it. There's something wrong with it. And I've tried, like, because you get a cheeseburger. People who get plain burgers are psychopaths. But it ruins the burger. It's the only place where the cheese ruins the burger. But the OG, so here's the thing for you. Now that I'm thinking about it, the Whopper,
I'm going to hate it.
It's Whopper isn't the play.
It's the mayo that's helping you.
Yep.
I know. I know
the mayo ketchup mixture. And somehow once that mayo ketchup mixture touches the tomato, some kind of chemical reaction happens. I don't know what it is, but it makes it delicious.
It's like the blue pill for Tom. He just gets raging hard while he's eating this thing.
Yeah. But that's my order there is the Whopper. I'll tell you, Dan, I think the play for you, go to Wendy's, get yourself a Dave's Double.
You know, I've been considering the Dave's Double. I get the Junior Baconator. Sometimes I just go hard and I get the regular Baconator. I'm just like, you know what? I'm going Baconator.
Here's the thing, though. Baconator, they make it out to be like this big, oh, it's all bacon. They're half pieces. There's three half pieces on each. So you're at what? One and a half?
It's like three half pieces layered.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're at three pieces of bacon. Like, if you're going to tell me the whole thing is called a Baconator, I want it to make my chest hurt.
Yeah, but I got to say, their bacon is still the best of the bacon at fast food, in my opinion.
Wendy's is very slept on as far as the big four go. Their breakfast is fantastic.
I got, yeah, I did have the frosty coffee, the frosty chino.
Yeah.
That, oh man.
Oh, and they do
torture that office bathroom before the pandemic after having, remember they got introduced. I think we were texting each other.
Yeah. Yeah. They're little,
it was before the pandemic. We were like,
they're little, like, they're little potato Johns.
Yeah. We talked about those.
So fucking good. And they have, they have one of the one breakfast sandwich. It's like an egg and cheese or an egg and sausage breakfast sandwich. And it has this like cheese sauce on it.
Yeah.
Just delightful. Simply delightful.
I had the breakfast baconator.
I haven't gone. I pull up and I look and I'm like, it's probably delicious. And then I look, I'm like, am I ready
you
for,
see,
am I ready for 1200 calories before, before 10 a.m.
You see your own faces like reflection in the mirror.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
You're just like, I can't do it.
it's like if I'm playing like a video game at night, like on my Switch or something, and the screen goes black and I catch my reflection looking down on it. I don't want to see that. It's not an image that I want to see. We lost Dan. Did we lose Dan or did we lose me? Yeah, we lost Dan. Dan, you look so entertained. Damn it. Oh, do we get him back? I don't think we got him back. We didn't get him back. I miss the freeze frame Dan because he looked so like he was really, yeah, heck of a freeze frame. He was so into what I was talking about. He was way into like, he was like getting hyped on Wendy's. Like, yeah, yeah. There he is.
Yeah, I'm back.
The freeze frame was fantastic, Dan.
Did you get a screenshot?
No, I didn't get a screenshot. It took me a minute because you were just like, yeah, you were just like really interested in what I was talking about.
It's great. It's funny because I'm like, oh, what's happening? I'm still watching the Sixers game, but the StreamYard's frozen.
Well, we are at about an hour. So we can wrap this thing up. So the moral of the story is don't sleep on Wendy's. Wendy's has always been my underdog of fast food.
I gotta say, I always enjoy the fries. I've been underwhelmed by the burgers as of lately, but
okay,
you know, maybe I'll start. I'll give that spicy chicken a chance.
Spicy chicken is,
I mean, it's my go-to at Chick-fil-A, but man, it really torches the insides on the way out, man.
There's something about it's not like the Chick-fil-A or the Wendy's spicy chicken is not like, they're not doing anything special. It's just good. Yeah. It just tastes good.
And like Chick-fil-A's isn't that spicy. It's the aftermath. I mean, I heard the best description of like aftermath ever, where your stomach sounds like a roll of quarters in a dryer.
Yeah, that's solid. That's
I was like, I know that sound and I've been there.
Yeah, that tracks. That tracks. Yeah. Yeah, we gotta get it's been a while. I did the I'll say this. It's probably one of the fattest fast food orders I've had in a long time, but it was the spicy chicken from Chick-fil-A with a side of mac and cheese. And then you hold on, Dan, you're not even there yet. With ranch and buffalo sauce, right? Yeah. And then you put the mac and cheese on the spicy sandwich, and then you drizzle the buffalo and ranch over top.
Jesus Christ.
Dan, I think I saw God when
does your cardiologist know?
This is a while ago. This is pre-gym. Okay. This is pre-gym, Tom.
Okay.
Jeez. That was like one of my last meals. I think I treat it as like one of my last meals. Like, all right, we're gonna go full bore into this thing. Let's go out with a bang.
You went like John Wayne Gacy last meal right there. You're just like, let's do it.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I think I had to catch my breath after eating that. Man, those that.
I can't tell you how many times I look at the milkshake and I almost get.
Oh, my God.
When you pre-order a Chick-fil-A and you're in the line to go, do you want to add anything else to your order? And I'm just like, God damn, I want a milkshake so bad. And I say no every time.
There was a time. So when I was in college, when I was working in the mall, they Chick-fil-A, when they introduced, there was a Chick-fil-A right outside of the mall. Yeah. And when they introduced the milkshake, this was back 05.
I remember.
They came into the store and dropped off a stack of, they're like, hey, can we leave these on the counter? And it was a stack of for free milkshakes. Yeah.
Free milkshake.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, you can leave them on the counter. And I just picked up a handful and put them in my car. And I was a poor college kid. I would get off work and every night just drive through, one milkshake, please. One cookies and cream milkshake, please. Here it is. Free milkshake every night. I had a stack like that thick, Dan.
Just driving home, blasting Hawthorne Heights. Like,
yeah. Oh yeah. It was that Trapped. Like, I don't know. Like, you know, it was that time. Yeah. Just sipping a cookies and cream milky shake.
Hand spun, so it's semi thick. So you're sucking in your cheekbones or your cheeks a little bit, like,
yeah, oh yeah, yeah, with the whipped cream, and they had the cherry at the end.
Yeah,
it was good times had by all. But let's wrap this thing up. Thanks for Matt for sticking around, because it's just you, buddy.
Thanks, Matt.
But yeah, thanks for everybody for listening. We'll be back next week with another episode. And this has been Best Friends Podcast, episode 211.
We out.
See you.
Best Friends Pod, hosted by Dan and Tom. 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 This podcast is hosted by two bros. So crack a beer and laugh at some videos. Superhuman jump through barbed wire bricks. Fuck this shit. Hang out with little lunchbox. Become a cluggolet. A cluggolet. Sometimes I'm a stouty boy, sometimes lazy. And this podcast is both. So it's all for me. Best Friends Pod, hosted by Dan and Tom. Cindy Crawford's a fan, how could you go wrong? So many pods up there, were it the ones for me? Epstein is still alive, and listens to Best Friends Pod.